Well, I know what you're thinking. They finally figured it out. A church all about me. Well, we are not a church all about you. We're a church about Jesus. And this morning, we are continuing our series, A Generosity Challenge. And last week, if you missed it, you got to go and get the podcast. We were so blessed by Pastor Ben from Uganda, who came and shared such an amazing story of God's grace in his life, taking a young boy poor in Uganda and the extent he had to go to get an education and end up in the States and get advanced degrees, that he could go back to Uganda and begin this amazing ministry to orphans. I, as your pastor, am so proud of you. Last week, he brought 20-some kids, 20-some orphans who they were trying to care for, and every one of them got sponsored. So thank you. And Ben, I thought I was full of life at times, but Ben took it to a whole nother level. So I might have to use a little jazzercise or something in the middle of the service to kind of keep that up. But it was hopefully a great weekend. We had a great time just basking in the reality that it's not based upon how much we have that generosity comes. Because we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that generosity was overflowing in one of the most poverty-stricken congregations. And it was found that grace was the motivator to give recklessly, to give radically in our lives. And so we saw that living example in Ben of a generous life. And so this week we're going to move to generous serving. And so if you have your Bible with me, please turn to Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12, you'll find a Bible somewhere around you in the chair racks and also be on the screens to my left and to my right. Romans chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 to 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the radical generosity you've shown us in the cross of Christ, that you held nothing back, but graciously gave us what we needed most. Forgiveness of sins, freedom, and restoration with yourself. Oh God, this morning, would you change us? Would you change our mindsets? Would you change our lives? May we be transformed by the renewal of our minds this morning. Father, may we be all about you. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you guys, how many are really enjoying the weather change that we've experienced this last week? All right, you need serious help. Serious. For the rest of us, I have a gift. I want to bring you somewhere. I want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy what you're about to see on the screen. Let us see it. All right. White sandy beaches, warm, cool ocean breeze, a yacht, or to be next to the pool. And for some, you know what you're thinking, I'm hoping myself and my drink will have an umbrella over it. God, that was funny. Did you get umbrella in the drink? Umbrella? Okay, anyway, let's go. All right. Enjoying the beautiful scenery as you look on the ocean and you sit back on your little chairs with your feet up. And last but not least, five dudes in tuxes, ready to meet every and all of your needs as they wade in the water. I mean, that would be awesome, you know, just randomly in a tux comes in the water, like, I'm thirsty, could you bring me something? But imagine the mindset you have when you go on a cruise. You're thinking about how much I can eat at the buffet, how much I can enjoy myself, how much I can be served, because it's all about me when you get on the cruise. Now, I want you to take that mindset for a moment, okay, relish it in a moment, just savor it, and then contrast that with a mindset of another large ship on the ocean, this ship. The mindset's drastically different, isn't it? The mindset on a luxury cruise liner is what's in it for me. The mindset on a battleship is what is the mission and what is the task at hand. David Platt, in his book, Radical, tells a story of a troop cruiser, a large battleship that was used to carry troops that did not quite meet what it was intended to be used for. In the 1940s, the United States began constructing an $80 million troop carrier for the Navy. The purpose was to design a ship that could speedily carry 15,000 men, troops, during times of war. It was to be the fastest and most reliable ship in the fleet. In 1952, construction on the USS United States was complete. The ship could travel at 51 miles per hour. It could steam 10,000 miles without stopping for fuel or supplies. It could outrun any other ship and travel nonstop anywhere in the world in less than 10 days. The only catch is she never carried troops. At least not for any official capacity. You see, what happened to the U.S. United States is that it moved from being a carrier for troops to a luxury liner. It became the luxury liner for presidents, for heads of state, for a variety of other celebrities who traveled her during 17 years of service. She couldn't carry 15,000 passengers anymore, only 2,000. And she boasted luxuries like 695 staterooms, 4 dining salons, 3 bars, 2 theaters, 5 acres of open deck with a heated pool, 19 elevators, and the comfort of the world's first fully air-conditioned passenger ship. Instead of being, as it was intended, a vessel for wartime, it became a cruise liner for the rich and the famous. And the question that David Platt asks is the question I want to ask you. Does that describe us? Does that describe the church today, that we are living on a battleship as if it was a cruise liner, that we've redesigned the ship to meet our needs and to be all about us? I don't want to say I think he's right. I think as I look to us, this is what we become, and I want to see why have we become this? How have we become this? And I think there's two main reasons. First is because we have misunderstood the ship's purpose. A battleship is made to do what? A ship that does battle. Really simple. A cruise liner is to cruise while you're lying around her. Sorry, it doesn't work quite as well, but you get the point. But you see that what this thing was intended for, what the church was intended for, was never for you. So you can find somewhere comfortable and meet your needs and to do whatever you want. And sex, because we have misjudged our present circumstances. Now, if we go back to that ship that was firing, what are the circumstances of this boat? Is it to enjoy the beautiful sunny day outside? What's going on? War. And so often we come into church for comfort and not realizing there's a real war going on. You know, it's kind of like as Americans, we have been fighting these wars for how many years? Over a decade. Apart from those of you who have served or have someone in your family serving, how many of us has it affected? Has anyone made any major sacrifices like they did in World War II? Is anyone rationing? Majority of us aren't feeling anything. I think the same has come to the church. We're at war and we try to deny it by thinking that this battleship is a cruise liner. And you got to think about what is the effects? What is the effects if all of a sudden you're on the battleship and you start acting as if it's a cruise liner? Tragic, right? Tragedy. Things will not go well if that's going on and you're going to your superior officer. Hey, yo, Cap, you know, you guys have a good thing going here, but the coffee, lacking. It was kind of cold, kind of like diesel fuel. Could we get some, maybe some hazelnut mocha, maybe some creamers? Could you do that for, here's $5, thanks. All right, number one, if you do that to your superior officer, you're going to be like scrubbing the mess hall with your toothbrush for the next 3 weeks. Then what happens to the rest of the ship and the larger mission? Becomes an epic fail. And I think we've got churches that may be full. I think when you begin to see what the real mission is, that so much as we have had an epic fail because the mission is not being accomplished. And that the result is that we are easily ignored, ridiculed, and written off. Steve Saccone wrote in his book, Relational Intelligence, that when we love people well, we become the proof of God. That God indeed has written his proof over all creation, but especially in his church. What does Jesus say? He says, they will know you by your love. That we would be differentiated from the rest of the world, that there would be a proof of his existence, of his grace in our lives by the effect it has in our lives. And I think about how much of a dying world, a skeptical world around us is standing up and kind of going, I see something different. I think majority we find is we're seeing in the media and in our culture is that we're ridiculed, we're put up to the sides, we're ignored, we're written off. But I would love to see what we saw in the early church, that an unbelieving world stands up and recognizes that something different is happening in these people, in this larger community, because of the grace they've received. I mean, the early church, a skeptical pagan world, is looking at what they thought was a little Jewish cult, and all of a sudden they are being taken back by they see these early Christians loving one another and even serving not only their own poor, but the poor and the sick of the pagans around them, and they could not get over that. There's not much that an unbelieving world has to get over with the church today. Our buildings, our programs, our events. You see, what we found is that the church has become just one other consumer commodity on top of everything else in your life. Whether you're a Target or a Walmart person, Whether you like Nike or Adidas, that all of a sudden the church becomes just one more thing on all the other things. It's kind of like you know, so many people come to church and think about it like a smorgasbord, right? You know, I get children's ministry over here, two scoops of that. I like the worship here. I'll get one scoop over there. I like this. I'll put there. And we look at it that way, and we will not invest ourselves in any community, in any larger church family. There's this quote by Miles McPherson, which I love. It says, churches that make an impact are more focused on putting boots on the streets than butts in the seats. Isn't that great? Let me say that again. That churches that make an impact are more focused on putting boots on the streets than butts in the seats. All right? We were not saved to sit. We were saved to serve. And that we're, as a church, in the midst of this transition of moving from more programs to seeing that we are on mission. That God has something greater for your life. And as those on mission, we come together as a family. That we long to be like the early church in Acts 4, that we spend life together. That we live life together. We party together. We engage our neighbors. That we learn that there is something glorious happening, because programs are not ultimately going to reach your neighbors. But you loving them and getting in their life and living a light before them, being with them through thick and thin, engaging people who are stuck behind their garage doors and never meet anyone around us. I mean, are some of you kind of like ashamed of how many neighbors you actually know? See, the gospel changes that. We're called to go and make disciples. Go and engage our neighbors. Engage those. You see, if we're to do church differently, we must live differently. Just coming to an event each week, doing a program, and a rest of life that looks everything like all of your neighbors who do not know and love Jesus amounts to nothing. It's an epic fail. But a church that is different, a church that gets that it is about relationships, it's about the greater mission of God, the Missio Dei, that we get that, that all of a sudden we find something that is different and people are coming and taken back and say, this doesn't seem like church to me. But I find myself attracted to it. I see love. I see grace. I see lives transformed. This seems different than what my notions of church were. And see, if we are to be a different church, it means that we have to live differently and that a generous life is a different sort of life. And so I want us to look at a few ways that a generous life is different than the rest. First, a generous life is different in its motivational delight. It can only be lived in light of mercy. In Romans 12, we have Paul summarizing and hinging on everything he said in the first 11 chapters. He's talked about how deep the sin problem of all mankind is, how high is the holiness of God, and how infinite is the gap between the two. That we are all lost, that we are not seeking, and we need someone to intervene. And yet God, we find out in Romans, intervene through His own Son, the infinite One, to bridge the gap between His holiness and our sin so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be restored. And Paul says, I want you to look at that. Another translation says, in view of God's mercy, offer. And so why we keep on talking about the gospel, why we keep on talking about Jesus around here, is that the only way radical lives can happen is by getting what Romans 12:1 says. I appeal to you, brothers, therefore, based upon this, look at the mercy of God. For so many of you, your life seems so small because His mercy and love seem so small. But when you get how big His mercy is toward you, and you constantly keep on bringing your heart and mind to meditate and to ponder on that motivational delight, it becomes the delight and motivation of your life, that all of a sudden things are different. And you can do what before seemed so impossible. You can be radical in what you give and how you live your life. And so I pray for the day when we as a church will be so mesmerized by His love that this community, when it thinks of the word love, thinks of Christ's community. Because we have loved our neighbors well. We have loved our school systems, our public officials. We have loved all of this community well. And they see a drastic difference in our lives and what the delight of our heart is, one of the meditations of our heart is the mercy of God and how it expresses itself in our life. We find, secondly, a generous life is different in duration. It's more than an event. It's a lifestyle. All right, when you think about giving an offering or a sacrifice, how many times do you give a sacrifice or that sacrifice? If I have a bull, if I have a goat, bunny, dog, cat, okay, no, not there. But if I have an offering, how many times can I offer a sheep? Or one sheep. All right, one and done, right? There's no nine lives, none of that kind of stuff. One and done. All right, now notice what Paul says here. He says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. So what's he saying? He says that following Jesus is not an event, it's a lifestyle. And so me seeing Sunday morning as this thing, and that's what characterizes my Christian life, he says that's not enough. That's an event. It's not a lifestyle. And so we have this idea of constantly, continually putting ourselves on the altar and say, I'm dying to self, I'm dying to my needs, my wants, my desires, and I'm giving myself unto you. I mean, it's like so often we want to think what it means to follow God is kind of saying, I accept a certain set of beliefs, I try to be fairly nice most of the time, I give occasionally. And when Jesus says, if any man is to come after me, he must first deny himself, second, take up his cross, and lastly, follow me. The prerequisite for being a Christ follower, for being a Christian, is not a set of beliefs. It's dying to yourself. It's denying yourself. It's putting yourself on the altar and say, God, have all of me. Let me die to myself and let me live for you and live that others may know you, that I may love them, that I may live out the good news, the radical love of God for me unto them. One of my friends at the Orchard Community, Scott Hodge, says this. He says, those who give most freely will live most fully. I love that. Give most freely, live most fully. You see, there's a difference between being surprised by generosity and being characterized by generosity. Let me show the difference. Surprised by generosity is that you do something nice and someone's like, wow, I didn't expect that. Can you believe they did that? I mean, experienced that? You're kind of like, whoa, didn't see that one coming. And what's the difference between that and characterized by generosity? Is you see those acts of love and kindness and service, and you're like, that is so him. That is so her. You see the difference? And so often we want to look at it as an event. But what God says is that my gospel and its implications for your life is a lifestyle. And that's what we see in Acts 4. That they're living life together and they're being so generous with one another and spending their times, their talents, their treasures, and they're just amazed by what they've been given in the good news, in the mercy of God. And so they're living it out day to day, and that's what we need to do. If you just come Sunday morning and think that that's it and that's going to make the difference, your neighbors are like, oh, I didn't see you this morning from 10 to 12. Wow, what is going on in your life? I'm not going to ask that. Assume you went to Starbucks or Target or got your grocery shopping done this morning. Thought, hey, you did something good to feel good about yourself this week. When they see that you're hearing and seeing the view of the mercy of God and it is impacting every day of your life, then they begin to stand back and ask, what is going on? Because I see something. Because Jesus said that I came that you may have life and have it to the full. And so we find a fullness of life that is lived when we receive the generosity of God's love for us in Jesus. I mean, it's just kind of like, when you think about Ebenezer Scrooge, life before the three ghosts, all right? Do you think of his life as large or small? Do you think of him as a large man or a small man? Not but in size, but as you think of the character of a man. Well, how would you describe him? Large, small? Small. Look at the difference after the meeting with the three ghosts and view what he experienced. How would you view his life? He's given it away. Jesus turns the regular economics of life upside down and says, he who wants to save his life, give it away. If you're seeking to save your life, you will lose it. And so we find that life is really full and free and large when we give ourselves away. And that only can happen with viewing the generosity of God and his mercy and his grace. See, it can't just be an hour a day. It's got to be every hour and every day of our lives. And I want to think for a moment, what keeps us from that? I think what keeps us from is we're worried about the what ifs. We're worried about if something better comes along, and so you want to hoard it for ourselves, right? Well, what if this happens? We better keep that money. What if this happens? I don't want to give my time there because this may come up and I don't want to be, you know, look bad because I said I couldn't go because this is better. It's kind of like, all right, ladies, remember back in the dances back in the day, all right? You get a call from Mike or Jimmy or John and you're like, that's a good option, but I'm really hoping Josh is going to call me. I'm telling you, you're a good-looking man. Man-child. Anyway, all right. So you're holding out for Josh, and Mike, Jimmy, John's offers are kind of like, I may keep him over here just in case, but I'm really holding out for that. All right, and that's kind of what we do with our time, our talents, our treasures. We always think that maybe there's something better, or maybe this might come up, or this, and so we want to hoard it for ourselves. And we find as we're turning in on ourselves, our life gets smaller. How do we live life to the fullest? Give it away. Give of yourself that others may know Him. Give yourself to serve in the church, outside the church. Give of ourselves, and you will experience the fullness of a generous life. Next, a generous life is different in desire. It is more concerned with accomplishing what needs to be done rather than complaining about what is not being done. You think about it, as we look at Genesis 12, we find this emphasis on not thinking of yourself too highly. So what he is saying is that don't come with a mindset that it's all about me and serving me, but come with a mindset that I'm here to serve. Remember, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So following after the pattern of his life is giving of ourselves and seeking the first desire to serve. And so when you come to the church, you're not just going like, hey, what can you do? You know, come on, do some flips. All right, jump through some hoops. You know, is there going to be fire coming out of his mouth this morning? That'd be really cool. You know, like the video. Am I going to get Super Bowl tickets? No, I'm serious. I need Super Bowl tickets. We're looking, what can you do for me? Now, what mindset is that, battleship or cruise liner? Cruise liner. What's the battleship mindset? Explosions are happening, bullets are flying, and there's an unmanned gun over here. What do? You run to the gun. Someone's been shot, and there's an empty space over here. They need someone to put in the missiles. What do? You get over there. So I love when people come, and all of a sudden, when the first thing they say is like, hey, what can I help out around here? I mean, don't you love it? Let's say you're hosting something at your house or you're doing something on your lawn or something. And the neighbor just comes over and is like, you need some help? Can I help you out? And you're like, yes, thank you. You know, I've been working on this for 4 weeks. I still can't figure out how to put this bookshelf together. You know, you come alongside and help. You're giving. You're seeking that. And you see what happens when we take away that mindset, when we take the cruise liner mindset, all of a sudden life gets really boring. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm going to, you know, talk about you guys, but how many got kids or teens and they always talk about how bored they are? I'm like, you don't even know how much you have. There is so much to do, plus you have like 180 billion TV shows, video games, everything else, and yet still you're bored because you're doing nothing. You ever met someone who's at busy serving at work complaining about their bored? No. And you see, when you get bored and you're not doing what God has designed you to do, what happens is you begin to look around you, what's not being done? You know, it's kind of like being on the mess hall on the ship and complaining about the coffee and say, hey, someone, I know there's you know, bombs going off and everything, but the coffee hasn't been made today, guys. Come on, anyway. Hey, the coffee, the filter, the water, it's all right here. Come on, somebody please. Why isn't anyone doing anything about this? All right, if you really cared about the coffee that much, what would you be doing? Make it! It's right there. And there's this funny story about some firefighters in Genoa, Texas. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram tells a story of these firefighters that they were accused of deliberately setting more than 40 destructive fires. All right, now this is when caught, this is what they said. Well, we had nothing to do. We just wanted to get the red lights flashing and the bells clanging. I'm like, seriously? You said 40 to me. Like, I want to get the red lights flashing and the bells clanging. And you're like, what is a firefighter supposed to do? He's supposed to do what to fires? Fight them, not make them. What's a Christian supposed to do? Fight fires or make fires? You see, when we understand the mission, when we understand the greater scheme and how God's designed us and what we're to do and the reality of what's going on around us, we look around and say, what's not being done? I'm not worried about that. What can I do? Let me jump on board. Whatever needs to be done, we've got a bigger thing going, and it's bigger than me. It's the mission. It's the glory of God. It's the transformation of lives, the saving of lives. That is what we're about. And so we find that a generous life is different in design. It knows that true growth can only happen when we contribute, not merely consumed. There was a survey taken that asked people the relationship of serving and their fulfillment in spiritual growth. And they found that over 92% said that when I was serving, I found myself growing more spiritually. And over half, 58%, said that those who were not actively ministering to others felt either not satisfied or somewhat satisfied with their level of spiritual growth. You see, there can be no growth individually or corporately unless you're giving. Your time, your talents, your treasures, you're invested. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see this so clearly. In verses 15 to 16, we hear, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Okay, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to get out of your mom's basement, all right? Get a job, all right? That's grow up. Stop playing with your Star Wars figures, all right? So if we are, the goal is that we grow up, and how does growing up happen? Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. All right, so what happens? How does growth happen? When each part, when everyone is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself in love. And so what do we find is that if there really is to be growth individually and corporately, it happens as each of us is doing what God has called us to do. We all are saying it's all hands on deck. We're all giving of ourselves. And then when one parts or different parts aren't doing the job, we all struggle. There will be no growth personally in your spiritual life. There will be no growth as a church. And I'll be honest, guys, right now, 10% of you are doing 90% of the work around here. What would happen if 50% of us really took seriously the call to serve and to give in this church and within and around in this community? How would that change? Because there's some things I need to make clear. Coffee doesn't make itself. We don't have some special like coffee maker from the Vatican that just automatically just spews forth, you know, liquid goodness. Someone literally has to grab coffee grinds, put them in a filter, put them in the coffee maker, put the water in, and plug it in. All right? Does everyone get that? All right? And so you begin to see that there's all these things don't happen by chance. There are people who are giving it. And how you see the difference is the difference between a consumer and an investor. Consumer comes in, what are they thinking? What do you have for me? Buying, I like this, I don't like this, whatever. An investor, how invested are they in a success of a business and a corporation. If you're being paid in Microsoft stock, what do you want to see go well? Microsoft, right? Stock goes up, my finances go up. Good, all right? So you're invested in the business. Part of you, so many, you find yourself just kind of like, I'm just kind of here. I don't feel like I'm really growing. I'm kind of floundering. And the reason why is because you're not invested. You cannot grow personally. We cannot grow as a body unless each is working properly. You feel disconnected? Because you're not connecting anywhere. You want to feel plugged in? Plug in. All right? And so if we're to grow, if you're to grow, it will happen this. Tyler Jones from Vintage 21 says, an owner makes the organization happen. Jesus wants his followers to make the church happen. Go out and love people, nurture each other, and serve with your whole life. See, that is the difference. And I can't imagine, I'm longing and praying for the day that happens to us, that we are a group of investors, not mere consumers. But I don't want to leave us here. I mean, you're probably like, I'm feeling beat up right now. All right, I want to encourage you a little bit. And so I want to celebrate what God has used us to do this last year. This last year, we have ministered to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children. We had over 300 children for VBS. Decisions made for Jesus, lives changed for eternity. Every week, we have dozens and dozens, hundreds of kids coming to our core classes, our basic kids worship, to soul, to refuge. We have tons of students being ministered to week in, week out here at Christ Community. We have Thursday mornings with our Women's Connection and the Lambs full lambs, little lambs, and story hour. And so moms are given a great break, and these little kids are hearing these Bible stories and growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. We have each week GEMS cadets having boys and girls being ministered to grow to see what it means to be a follower of Jesus from within this church and without. Every week, we have a dedicated bunch of musicians, vocalists, tech people who come here early, even midweek, to practice so that it actually sounds good. All right? So it just doesn't happen here Sunday morning. They practice and give of their time so that we can have excellence in our worship. We have hospitality. As I said, the coffee doesn't make itself. The cookies don't fall down like manna from heaven. All right? It doesn't happen. You just show up on Saturday morning, Sunday morning, like, oh, Oreos from Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, it doesn't happen. You got to buy them and bring them, or cook the cookies and bring them here. That we have the ladies who go and deliver each week to new families who've come here. They get home-baked cookies brought to their homes. That we have greeters who come each week, and hopefully you've had someone shake your hand or say welcome this morning, give you a smile. They come here early to do that. They come early, stay late, so that you can feel greeted and welcomed when you come here this morning. We have leaders, and we meet. And when I mean we meet, all right? We meet long, and it's an endeavor of love, and we come and we pray, we plan, we look, how can we better disciple and grow and lead the church? We have times where we're just caring. What are the needs? How can we pray for those? How can we minister to those things? And so we've got individuals, leaders, elders, deacons, ministry leaders who are meeting and meeting so that you can be served, so that we can grow together. Every week, dozens of moms and women are being ministered at a women's connection. And so some moms, this is the only like few hours of sanity they have in a given week. And so they thank you. On behalf of them, we say thank you for doing that. We had dozens of teens and adults go to Kentucky this last year for our missions team to minister to those who've been affected so severely by the floods there in Kentucky. We have helped out with the homeless at Hesed House several times this last year. We've helped Feed My Starving Children and ships food to the most vulnerable starving children around the world. We've helped out with Lamb's Fold Women's and Children's Shelter in Joliet, with their women's events, with the building rehab, with offerings. We've helped those who are elderly through our Lakewood Nursing Home. We've helped those in our own community in Creekside Cares, PSD 202 School District. We've collected backpacks, school supplies, food to support these struggling families in Plainfield. We have given last week over $500 to $600 was given by you that families may have Thanksgiving dinner this week. That we have helped out for those unwed mothers who are struggling with whether to keep their pregnancy through living alternatives, for the bottle drive and the walk for life. And that's just scratching the surface of what God has done and is doing here at Christ for Me this past year. But I want to give a challenge. Is your life here a life of someone on a cruise or on a battleship? And so I know some of you are giving everything and you're almost burnt out, and I'm like, just hold on and hopefully we're going to give you some relief. For those of you who are doing nothing, get up. All right, you're not saved to sit, you're saved to serve. And so I want to give some really practical, easy ways that you can start off. All right, number one, raise your hand if you can talk. All right. Number two, raise your hand if you have a hand. All right. Number three, raise your hand if you can smile. I know some of you are lying on that one. I've never seen it. All right, but okay, so that you've met the qualifications to be a greeter here on Sunday morning. You can say hello, welcome, good morning, whatever you can pick. Freedom, do whatever you want, all right? And you shake their hand, welcome, point them in a direction, all right? That's all it takes. So it's an easy way. We have a huge need there that you can get involved in a small way to begin ministering. Because some of you experienced, have you ever been to the church and you felt like, no one talked to me, they ignored me, it was not a very fun experience. And you went out the door and walked the other way. And some of you have experienced the difference. We've walked in the church and you felt welcomed and loved on, and cherished. You see, that first initial contact can be huge in someone's life. Because they say, I haven't been in church in years, and it might be all come down to this morning, and you could make or break it for them. And so a greeter. We have a commitment in choir, all right? Some of you can sing, some of you can't. I'm serious. But you can go Milli Vanilli on this. Or Hannah Montana. I think, was it Hannah Montana who did that? Oh, no. Was it? No, she didn't. Who got caught for lip syncing lately? All right, so there's a lot of them. They all do it, all right? So you can lip sync. We'll take lip syncers as well. So you can be choir, you can be lip syncers. It's a really easy commitment. One Sunday morning, like two practices, a great way to get involved. Local missions. There are ministries to Hesed House, to Feed My Starving Children, to Deck the Halls, Life Spring Pizza. And there's some great easy ways one night for you to get involved, to get connected. All right? So if you feel not connected here, you have no reason to. There are plenty of opportunities for you to get connected on mission with people and to really serve and to grow together. So get connected. Get connected in one of these ministries. That you can help donate food, as we did this last week, for these Thanksgiving meals and for continuing for Creekside Cares. That you can give on a one-week mission trip. All right? So 1 week of your life can go and go with a bunch of people to minister to those who are hurting, to spread the gospel. You can help here for a week with VBS. And I'm telling you, VBS is a blast. I mean, you just got kids everywhere. And some of you are thinking, that does not sound like fun to me. All right? Well, you can help out pre-VBS. All right? No kids involved. Help get things ready and coordinated for it. And so, like, if you've got a gift for administrating, calling people, putting things together, please call me. All right? Email me. We need those type of people as well to come and help put all this stuff together to get people set where they need to go. And there's ways you can regularly serve. That if you hadn't noticed when I talked about children's ministry, okay, every week we have two services, basic kids worship. We have core classes in between. We have GEMS, Cadets, Soul, Refuge, and the Little Lambs and Story Hour on Thursday morning. That's a lot of children's teens ministry. All right, we just don't get leaders off of trees. Like, I'll take two children's ministry directors and a shake. Thank you. All right, that doesn't happen. All right, the only way your kids and maybe grandkids, whatever, are ministered to is by you stepping up and serving them. And we may get to the point where we can't offer as much because no one's stepping up to serve in there, serve a nursery, serve in these different areas. So we need you to be a part of these things. There's a need for the coordinating parts of coordinating nursery, coordinating the Thursday morning kids stuff. These are all things that you can help out. There's a need to help those in recovery. Every week we have dozens of people struggling with addiction and issues in their life who are coming here to get help. And so maybe you've got some of that in your past. You want to help someone who's gone through what you've gone through. And so we have a need for you there with our recoveries. We have a need for our missions team to kind of help coordinate and be a part of advancing the gospel globally. And so you can be a part of that. We have a need for hospitality and greeters. Is that going through a transition, we have a lot of different shuffling of positions, and so we need help when it comes to making coffee. Some of you may be in barista in your background. We can use you, all right? Some of you, that you say, like, I can plug in an electrical outlet. We can use you. You can make coffee. That could be your part. We'll have, like, three people. One person does the water, one person does the grinds, and you're the put-in-the-light socket kind of guy, all right? So there is somewhere for you to sort of get involved. You will not feel you're connected or grown unless you get involved in serving somewhere here and in the community. There's a need for administration, planners, and people who make things happen. If you're just kind of like, I don't know what to do, but I'm willing to do anything, we'll find somewhere. And part of it is some of you just need to start experimenting, all right? What I mean by that, you might go in some odd directions, all right? What I mean by that is just start showing up to help out with a ministry and see if that it's a good fit. So you might say, hey, maybe I would like nursery. Show up. Or maybe I'll help out with cadets or gems. Show up and see if that's a good fit. Well, maybe I'll try to greet this week. Try and see what fits you best and just find somewhere to get connected and serve. You see, if we're to really make an impact on this community, it will not be by how many people are merely sitting in these pews. Not how many butts in the seats, but how many boots in the street. How many of us are getting the generosity of God and is motivated by such amazing love that we find ourselves serving within the church and serving outside of the church. See, how can we have a generous, full life? Give it away. Let's give away our time. Let's give away our talents. Let's give away our treasures that He may be made much of and that lives may be changed. This morning, we are reminded we are a battleship. All hands on deck. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so immensely for your grace and that just overwhelms me with such generosity. You held nothing back when you gave us your Son. what was most dearest to your heart, you gave that we may be brought near to you, that we may be forgiven. And Father, some in this room who've never gotten that, and the reason their lives seem so small is because your love, your mercy seems so small. And Lord, if whether they're, say they're following after you, or they say, I'm a skeptic, I'm not really about any of this stuff. Lord, I pray that they would begin to see such amazing love and that it would make a lasting difference in their lives. Father, would you make a room of individuals, make us a church of generosity, who give everything, who die to self, who give our lives away, that others may know you. Lord, we thank you. We offer this in Jesus' name. Amen.